Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's see how this all sounds.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. You sound great.
This is weird because I can't see anybody's face.
I know. I don't like it.
Yeah, this is going to be...
like Charlie and Charlie's Angels.
Yes. That's right.
Yes. What does Bubba say? He's the Wizard of Oz behind the veil. But that's okay. We're going to make it work. We are still working on the title of this show. It's like, I don't like just Anna, Tara, Carrie. We need a title, a working title. So please, suggestions and recommendations are welcome. Because I don't know what to call this. Sister Girl Time, Sister Girl Chat.
Charlie's Angels.
We're working on it. But Carrie, thank you for coming in. And your husband is here.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew. And when you told me he was a dermatologist, my eyes widened because I am a huge fan of Dr. Pimple Popper, as I talk about her often. And I want to hear about the nastiest, grossest cyst that you've popped, sir, because that really tickles my fancy.
And what's your it's Dr. Drew and then your last name.
Claudel.
Okay. Because there's another Dr. Drew in the ether.
Yes.
Yeah. He's psych, though, right?
Yeah. Dr. Drew Pinsky or something like that.
Hey, yeah, psych and derm and go hand in hand.
Bubba's
sometimes.
Friends with Dr. Drew.
Is he really?
Yeah. Shut really up. Good friend. Yeah. They used to be good friends.
Sorry. Drinking water here.
So Dr. Drew Claudel, dermatologist, right?
Yes.
A.K.A. Mark Wahlberg.
A.K.A. Yeah, you do look so much like Mark Wahlberg.
Like you're one of the bros.
Like, seriously.
When I inject his Botox, I really specifically don't over-inject because I want to keep that, like,
he looks like a Wahlberg all day. Yeah. It is a compliment. Are you kidding me? Between Mark and Donnie, he looks kind of like a hybrid.
Who's the hotter one? Is it Mark now, right? He's the one that gets up at like 2 a.m. and starts working out, yeah. does CrossFit.
Yeah, he was okay. Marky Mark. I mean, yes. In the funky
right.
bunch.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking more like Donnie, so maybe that's not a good
Donnie's hot. He's married to...
it's Jenny. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's good. They're all, I mean, both of them are good looking. Really good looking. Yeah, you totally look like a Wahlberg.
That's
like
a good thing.
She said that, and you walked in. I was like, damn.
Right on the money. I do want to apologize to you, Carrie, for kind of having a freak out last week.
Yes, let's talk about that. Yeah, your first facial experience.
I've never even gotten a facial before. I don't really know much about aesthetics. I had brunch with the girls this week, and I told them about all the possibilities that you opened for me. And mm-hmm. one of them was like, "Are you fucking stupid? Why are you not getting?" She's like, "Do everything." And I, because she's, you know, she's in that world, and she was telling me about, you know, things I'd never heard of before, like lip blushing and a bunch of other mm-hmm. stuff. So she's like, "Get it all done." And I'm like, "Dude, I've never even gotten a facial before. Wednesday was my first time. Like, I really need to go one step at a time. I move slow pretty much in everything that I do." So I've been doing my research. I looked up the whole chin thing that you were talking about, and it is a thing, apparently.
Yes. Recessed chin.
Yes,
and to create balance in the lower face.
Yes. Yeah, so I watched many a YouTube video about before and afters and about what it looks like and how it kind of not realigns your jaw or anything like that, but, you know, makes your teeth look less protruding. It just balances you out.
Improves your profile. Yes. Yes.
Yes. It certainly does.
Well, that's the beauty of facial mapping.
Okay. Yeah. And it was really funny because once you were like, "I'm going to map your face," I'm like, "Well, I feel like this is not going to be a self-esteem building, you know, project here." But it was cool and you were awesome. But I did feel bad because I know that
baby steps.
Yeah. And I know that you are, because you were talking about this, that you're such a perfectionist, because all you see is like I can help you here. I can help you there. I want to build your confidence, this, that, and the other. So I felt bad because I knew that you're, I mean, you're essentially an artist, right, of the face, and you want to do your work, and I know that you're good at what you do. So I do apologize for having a little bit of a freak out.
No,
but
you did not freak out. You did perfect. Okay. But also, it did kind of work because, number one, you did your research.
Uh-huh.
Number two, you have fucking makeup on, and I've never seen you wear makeup.
I know.
You had makeup on today, and I called you out on that. Number three, I did stalk your Insta, and you never post yourself in pictures, and I saw you post something over the weekend, like just casual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely mostly just post radio stuff. I'm not one for selfies or anything
right.
like that. It's just,
but
it's not really my style. But
even the HydraFacial and your skin improving and the medical grade products, you're feeling a little better about
your
skin.
I definitely am. And I would say I'm probably most interested in Botox. I think that scares me the least. So if I'm going to take the plunge, that's probably where I'm going to start with some of those Botox injections. But I do want to talk about something that has really nothing to do with aesthetics, because I need some input from the girls and boy, it's anybody can kind of weigh in on this. But I think we're kind of all on the same page with the COVID vaccine, right? It's like, do you, boo-boo, sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about it. I've done my due diligence, my research. I really, really don't want to get it. But I had a talk with my mother yesterday. I'm supposed to go to California next month to go visit her and go to a wedding. And my mom drank the Kool-Aid, and she does not want to see me until I'm vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in this weird situation where, you know, it's not even the state that's pressuring me or, you know, the federal government. It's my mother. Now, my mom does have a lot of pre-existing conditions. She had open heart surgery last year and stuff like that. She got vaccinated. She got COVID and then she got vaccinated. So I thought that she had enough protection. I got COVID in April, so I'm pretty sure I have antibodies and was mm-hmm. willing to get an antibody test. But she consulted her doctor, and the doctor just feels like it's not safe until I get the vaccine, even if I have proof of antibodies. But
and he's from California.
Yeah, my whole family's from California, super, super left, which is fine, but I've definitely deviated from that. And I deviated long before I even moved to Florida. I definitely had questions when I was in college at UC Santa Barbara. I was just like, this is not adding up. But now that I'm in Florida, obviously, it's kind of accelerated that process working with the people I work with here and stuff like that, you know, Dr. Dan and all that. So I don't know what to do. And last night was the first time in the entire duration of the time the vaccine's been available that I actually considered getting it, because I'm like, what am I just never going to see my mother again? Like, what's the, you know, and I'm the type of person where I have strong principles and I really don't want to get it and I hate big pharma and yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, like, are principles just useless if you can't see your family? Like, so I really, really don't know what to do.
I want Dr. Drew to chime in on
this. I'm not a clinician.
Because he's very, just answer.
I feel like, my opinion does not matter. I'm not a clinician. So, you know, I have no opinion on this.
I have no idea what to do. I feel like I'm just kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place where I really don't want to get it. And I was steadfast with it with my mom on the phone because, you know, I've done my due diligence. I'm not a doctor, but again, I don't even trust doctors because everyone's a doctor and they're saying different stuff. So it's like, right. This expert is
saying one
thing.
But here's the cool thing. Dr. Drew Claudel does not know you.
Yes.
So probably, you know, getting his perspective might lend some insight on maybe what direction, at least another party. Like Dr. Diaco, you're close with him. You work with him.
Right.
So, you know, you understand his you know, stance.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, you know, I think I would also be interested in hearing her opinion, but for Dr. Drew Claudel, I think it's important to get, you know, what do you think, especially in you're a dermatologist, so you're, you know, in a unique field.
Keep in mind, this is not my specialty. I'm not an infectious disease specialist, but I'm not aware of any studies or any science that shows that vaccination is any more effective than natural immunity. And if you've already had the virus, you're probably covered, but I agree with what you said. You know, family's family, and you know, I personally was not afraid of catching the virus. I don't have any of the standard risk factors that everybody talks about as far as being elderly, overweight, pulmonary disease. But I do see a lot of elderly patients, and as much as I was against getting vaccinated, I went ahead and got it just to kind of eliminate any.
One did you get?
I got the Moderna.
Okay.
And I had two. And, you know, there's just not a lot of guidance right now in the country. And that's the problem. Everybody's lost and they're drinking the Kool-Aid. They're listening to idiots out there, including, you know, the people in the administration and the people that are in charge of all this. And it's because they don't know either. Having the two shots, for instance, they recommended, you know, getting those several weeks apart. Now they're saying, well, maybe they should have spaced them apart. But now they're trying to make up for that with this booster shot. Now
the third,
about. And there's no evidence that shows that may not even be needed.
Right.
But especially with natural immunity. With that said, if your mom wants you to have it to see her, then it's kind of hard to turn down.
What you told me, because I'm I had COVID back in November, pretty bad, lost my taste and smell. It really mind fucked me having that, and I still have brain fog and I deal with just exhaustion from time to time.
Cuss on here? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very, very okay.
Yeah. And that's why I like them. And so, but explain or say, because you even said, even if you should get it with UV still being childbearing age, the risk of
I've heard that the people that have had the virus and with the natural immunity, I've heard some studies, I think, out there are showing that it may actually not offer anything, but also could maybe be more harmful in that population. And, you know, kids now, they're finding out young males are having heart issues with
is it the endocarditis?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people that are low risk, again, I think common sense, washing your hands. If you want to wear a mask, you know, keep your distance.
Right.
Those type of things. Certainly if you're compromised, you know, if the vaccine is so good and masks are so good, then people should be happy. If they want to do that, that's fine. But they shouldn't
impose it on.
They shouldn't impose it on everybody.
I agree.
Shouldn't be mandated.
But
I don't think the government should mandate it.
Essentially,
aren't you getting a vaccine to protect yourself?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Because you can still get it and spread it. And I told my mom that several times. And it's one of those things where, you know, she's following the logic train. I go, if so facto, you know, people that have the vaccine can still get it and spread it. And it was almost kind of like best case scenario with the vaccine where it only protected you. So you didn't have to worry about being a grandma killer. As long as grandma was vaccinated, then you're good to go. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to worry about getting the vaccine to protect other people, which is how it was pitched in the beginning, right? Like, do it for your community. Well, that went out the window when you can still get it and spread it. So my mom follows the logic train. She gets it. But then at the end, she just goes, I don't feel comfortable. My doctor said it's not a good idea. So
yeah,
it's
kind of what they did to my mom, too.
Yeah.
Even if you got tested before when you got there and then
she wasn't comfortable. She's like, well, is it a PCR? And I'm like, well, no, it's one from Walgreens. So that wasn't good enough. And I said, what about an antibody test? And she says, well, you know, you really don't know how many antibodies you have. It's either yes or no.
So you could get a PCR when you landed and then you get the results the next day. I mean,
she'd have to pick me up from the airport and then she'd feel
uncomfortable. Can you just laugh?
You know, that did occur to me, Carrie. That did occur.
Fake vaccination.
Can you just laugh?
And
say that again.
A fake vaccination card.
I can't do it.
Can you just laugh?
Can you just laugh?
Can you lie?
But here's the bottom line, Anna. You're looking for an answer and you're looking for somebody to tell you. And that's what sucks.
Yeah.
This is going to, you're going to ask 50 different people and hear 50 different, you know, scenarios, 50 different answers. This is something you've got to just decide. Pull the trigger.
And I don't want to.
I know. So unfortunately, any doctor, nobody is going to have the right answer because nobody really knows.
Nobody
knows. Yeah. So yeah. I think it's just you've got to make peace with it and either do it.
Or lie.
And I have no, let me be clear, I have no problem lying. I do have a problem lying to my mother.
You can't lie.
Especially over something regarding, you know, health and well-being, you know?
Yes, no.
So.
I don't know. I think you just have to, you've got to make peace with it one way or another. And, you know, fly in a day early, get a hotel, get a PCR, you know, get an Uber to a hotel right there by the airport.
That's a good idea, actually.
And get a PCR.
Watch me get COVID, and then just stuck there for 2 weeks.
And then, you know, the next day you'll find out and you can see your mom and everyone can rest assured.
That would be fantastic. That's actually a really, really great idea. I'm looking for sort of like, okay, could I do this? Because it would be dumb for me to get tested and then get on a plane. Like, that's not helping anything. anybody. It's like, oh, let me get tested and go to a concert. You know, right. Obviously it doesn't really matter. So I've just been kind of weighing over this the last 24 hours because my mom was actively avoiding me and admitted it, you know, because we were supposed to talk last week and all of a sudden she just, you know, she was ghosting me. And I've been ghosted by a lot of men in my life, but not my mother. So that was a weird flex.
When are you supposed to see her? So what's your timeline?
October 20th was when I was supposed to fly in. So a month and a week or something like that. So
even best case scenario, you could only get one vaccine. You couldn't get
unless
both
I get J&J.
Right? Oh, that's true.
Yeah, unless I get the J&J, which is the least effective, which is totally fine with me. I'm not scared of the virus at all. And at the end of the day, I'd rather just live my life and risk dying than be in fear for the next decade or however long they're going to have us wrapped up. So that's just, you know, and my mom was just very, she's supportive in what however I want to live my life, but she does think it's a bit reckless how we do things in Florida. And I go, oh, you mean just like living a normal life of how it was before before the pandemic? But, you know, she's a little concerned that I wasn't social distancing. I'm like, oh, Mom, it doesn't matter how many people you sleep with as long as you take the STD test and you're clean,
older
right?
Generation like, is highly influenced, I mm-hmm. think, by especially like media
well
and anything
said.
That she's being they're being told. I mean,
my mom's the same way.
Yeah.
Which is weird because both your mom and my mom, at least my mom over the last election cycle, definitely got red-pilled. She is in California, but she does live in a conservative enclave of Orange County, which is pretty conservative in a very blue state. She did vote for Trump, although I'm not supposed to tell anybody that. But
well, I'm glad you didn't just like publicly admit it or anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Listen, none of my like her sister or brother or anything know how to access Twitch or anything like that or the internet, basically. So I think I'm pretty safe. Everyone I talk shit about on like Twitch is unable to access it because they're boomers and they refuse to learn new things, which is mm-hmm. fine. That's totally fine. But I'm just kind of in this conundrum and I've been kind of asking for advice and it would really kill me to, you know, lay down the sword to the man.
I think you have to go see her. You have to. Life is short. But if you don't feel comfortable with the vaccine, I say you get the PCR when you land, get there, you know, at a decent time and spend the night in a hotel. There's plenty. I've been to San Diego. There's that Hotel Row near the airport. You can get, you know, like Homewood Suites for $100 a night.
Yeah.
Spend the night, see her the next day, you'll get the results.
I think that's a great idea. You're right. I just
you have to see her though. How long has it been? 2 years?
2 years.
You've got to see your mom.
It's been 2 years. So if I get that negative PCR test, maybe that will
make her feel
more comfortable.
Yeah. And tell her that, you know, you're not necessarily refusing. You're just you've got so many mixed emotions.
Yeah.
That's the sucky part of this whole entire whatever it is that it's, you know, keeping you from seeing your loved ones. I mean, even, patients that are in nursing homes and that are, you know, more in danger if they get sick are mentally, you know, their mental health is declining because mm-hmm. they're not seeing their loved ones. I mean, it's a real fucked up.
And the thing is they're making it political and it has nothing to do with politics.
Yes, I even said that. My mom said, you know, I'm not trying to make this political. I said, neither am I. Like, we're just talking mm-hmm. science here. I just don't understand, you know, the evidence shows, if you want to talk science, which is what we're doing, the evidence shows that the vaccine just protects you. It doesn't prevent you from getting it. It doesn't prevent you from spreading it. It just prevents the severity of the symptoms. So
I think it's like wearing a seatbelt, right? You can mm-hmm. still get in a crash.
Yeah,
and you can still get fucked up.
Yeah.
And you can still die, but your chances are a lot less.
Correct.
One of my partners is a physician, and that's kind of the analogy he gave. And he is one way, you know, he feels like you got to make the decision for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He's not pro or anti. And that was the analogy. I think it really resonated with me. I'm like, okay, yeah, it is. You know, you can still die if you have a seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the big misconception is everyone thought this vaccine, oh, it's going to protect you and you're never going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody said that, but obviously there was
that way.
Yeah,
but
that was
it was
pitch.
Never said that. Outright.
So now it's divided us again. So yeah, it's a seatbelt, you know?
Yeah, it's never ending. And I know we mentioned mental health, and this is how I'm going to segue back into aesthetics, but
and pimple popping.
But in terms of mental health and addiction, you can be addicted to a lot of different things, right? right, drugs, shopping, whores, whatever the case may be. Do you think that, like, in the realm of aesthetics, because that's your field of expertise, Carrie, do you think that there are people who are addicted to that?
Oh, God, yes. Where I feel like I'm a drug dealer. Oh, I'm a total addict.
You should see what he's doing.
No, I'm not. I'm very balanced.
I wish I could see you guys' face. But do you think that, because I was kind of thinking about that, because my friend, I won't mention her name, but I went to brunch with her on Sunday, and it seems like she's recently maybe in the last like year or two, gotten into, you know, she was telling me about cheek fillers and lip fillers and blushing and this and that. And it seems like once you start, it's not like you get one thing fixed and you're done. It's like, oh, I really like
but
that.
But it's about balance, yeah. Right? So you don't want to look like the Joker from Batman.
Yeah, it can be a slippery slope. If your provider isn't cutting you off and saying, baby girl, let's do a hydrofacial, no more injections for you. Mm-hmm. You're you know, we're measuring you. Look at your balance. You look amazing. So I feel like if you aren't, you know, as a provider, not really being honest and saying, I'm done with you because, I mean, you know, let's go on to something else, then you definitely could be, you know, feeding that slippery slope. So it definitely is a slippery slope. I agree.
And you've had to cut people off before where you're like,
oh, yes.
You're like, I don't want my name on this face that looks just
completely
plastic.
Have you had to cut people off? What's that conversation like? Yeah. Oh, I want to hear this.
I feel like as I've gotten, I've been doing this over 20 years. So now I'm just like, I ain't got time for that. Like, I mean, it's like that sounded terrible. I didn't mean it like that. I just meant like,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, you're trying to look out for their best interest,
I am.
Right?
I'm trying to look out for the best interest. And when I'm even doing the consult with patients, in the back of my mind, it's this, even though I have no degree in psychology or therapy, but you kind of have to be aware, are you tweakment? I call it a tweakment. Like, you know, a tweakment to where you're, you know, just enhancing maybe a feature, or you mm-hmm. are, you know,
trying to be your best version
of
yourself.
Your best version of yourself to boost your confidence. And so, or in the back, usually they ask the right questions and they're acting the right way to where it's a red flag in that this is something that could be a little bit more emotional, psychological, negative. There's some red flags.
So what are the right things to say to get the work done, so I can write those down in case I need it in the future?
Oh, I know. It's like going to see a therapist.
Yeah, or getting like
get
oxys
something.
And be like, no, I really do have back
Adderall
pain.
And
yeah.
Know what to say and pass a test.
Mm-hmm. Pill shopping.
So what are some of the red flags that people tell you so I can avoid them in terms of like when they want work done?
I want to be perfect.
People say that.
I want to be perfect.
People
say
that.
I will be so happy once I get through with my injections. I know that I will be like, I will be like the best person ever. My boyfriend will, he'll love me more.
Oh my God. People have said that to you before.
Are
oh,
you kidding?
Girl, yes.
My boyfriend will love me.
Oh my God,
a lot of
I'm
it,
fought.
I mean, there's
I'm
a
screwed.
Lot of, there's a, there is a lot of body dysmorphia that will, you know, come up and,
Sure.
Or when they say they want to look like I saw
an Instagram filter.
Oh,
an Instagram,
I bet that happens
somewhat.
A lot, right?
Yeah.
Well, they'll bring in a picture and say, hey, make me look like this.
Yeah, looking like
it's
somebody
like that's
else.
That's not a real person.
That's another one.
I think
yeah.
I did that when I met you, didn't I? I'm just kidding.
I think the most makes my heart hurt is the ones that think they're going to be loved more or accepted more.
What do you tell those people? Like, what's the response? Because like you said, you don't want to act like a therapist, and you also want business, but also you care about people and you know that they're getting it for the wrong reasons.
Well, I think there's room for everyone to have, even if it's like, you know, better skin quality or taking care of their skin with medical grade skincare, we can talk about that. But if they truly have like a really recessed chin, or they have lips that turn in or corners of the mouth that are really, if they have truly have something that I know is like, gosh, you know,
it's attracting the wrong type of attention.
Yeah.
Where they're
so
like,
I could see where that would, but a lot of times they don't know the feature that's making them be perceived by someone else in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think, okay, I would, if I had my daughter who felt this way or my mom felt this way and she was going to someone, I kind of think like I would want to be that provider to where, you know, you definitely couldn't, or a lot of times this is when I call in the doctor. Like I'll call in the doctor I work for and, you know, kind of go over the consult just to make sure I'm on the right wavelength. Cause sometimes it can go an awkward way where I don't want to say the wrong thing to pull them over the edge, but I'm, you know, a girl's girl. I get it. I'm, you know, trust me. I'm like Drew said, I'm, I definitely can drink the Kool-Aid. But I definitely, you know, talk about in a normal way, I see this feature is off to you and we're going to measure you and see, and this is a solution that can help balance that. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, you know, it's really important that, you know, your skin stays young and all these, like I kind of go a more neutral approach. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just kind of, you know, keeping in the back of my mind, just, you know, dancing that line. It just depends on what they're saying or what their main concerns are. The ones that just keep wanting to get more and more and more and more done are the ones where I push those towards the doctors that I work for.
You just flat out like refused if somebody's like, hey, no, I want my lips bigger? Or what's the biggest thing that you normally have to say no to or deny?
I say lips are probably the biggest thing. Lips. Mm-hmm. I'll say,
cheek filler.
I'll definitely tell them like the logistics of it, like your lips can only have this much amount and we are very balanced, you look amazing, you don't want to, you know, cross the line with your anatomy of your face. Mm-hmm. But I say, you know, I don't have all of the ammo for you, so I'm going to bring in, you know, Dr. Diaco.
Right.
Or someone, let you see him and see what he says. So normally when I
let him break your heart because he's good at that,
they'll either say no it's fine, I'll do whatever Carrie says, or he's, you know, has doctors have a way of, people listen to doctors more.
Okay.
So I tell Drew this, and if he was to say, I'm removing a skin cancer from you, I need you on medical grade skincare, this is what I want you on, they will fucking buy it. They will do whatever a doctor says. Now a nurse comes in and does that, and they're like, let me think about it. And so I know, and I'm like, oh my God. So I definitely think that there's a whole different
level of respect,
mind
almost.
Shift when they're actually talking to a doctor. So I push that off on that's
that
what my doctors
sense.
Are there for. I mean, you know, I don't have the answers. I'm not the doctor, but it's something that I know is often I can't handle. I go to my boss.
Yeah. Because also you don't want, I mean, that's your work there. So if she looks like a fucking weirdo walking around town and someone's like, who did your lips?
Yeah.
And like, oh, no. Carrie did. And it's like, oh, why?
Hey, there's been a couple. There's been a couple of those.
Yeah.
And that I've seen and I didn't do their lips. Like they have something already terrible and I'm trying to talk them into, you know, diluting it. And, but they think, oh, it's, and they're like, oh yes, I see Carrie. I'm like, oh my God, no, you don't.
You're like, please don't tell people this.
Don't tell them that.
Don't tell them
until
I fix you.
Let's go over here and talk to someone else.
Yeah, let me fix you. Please don't tell anyone.
Yeah, so there are a few of those. I might not be for everyone either. I mean, some patients want that Groupon look. They want that over-injected look. Because, you know, when you're young and you're hot, and you know, you think you could definitely sometimes handle it more than someone that's older. Mm-hmm. But it's, they don't want to hear it. And like I said, they'll find another injector that'll do it. And that's, I'm not going to do that. So,
well, that's good. I appreciate that.
But there are some face shapes that can hold it. I mean, Kylie can really hold it. Like, you know, the Kylie Jenner. Kardashian.
Yeah.
I think that she looks better with bigger lips because her face shape.
Yeah.
But they're definitely enhanced and things are weird on Instagram and all that. It's just nothing appears as what it seems.
No, nothing's
real. But some face
real.
Shapes can hold a look.
I think that's
area.
Part of the mental health problem
100%.
Is you get on social media and there's filters and there's, you know, all these whatever apps that make you look like, you know, you have ass implants and lips and, you know, birds around your head and all that shit. And everyone has this idea that, you know, it's a bigger, better deal. I've got to look... This is reality. Oh my God, look how happy they are. Look how this, mm-hmm. look how perfect. And, you know, they had 15, you know, face touch up, whatever that app is and all that.
Yeah.
Whatever that shit.
Isn't that, what's that called, Drew? Catfishing? Didn't you tell me that you went on a date before we ever knew each other?
You know what catfishing is, Carrie, right?
No, is that right? When you're not
Right?
I just learned that term like 2 years ago.
Really?
I know.
Drew, she doesn't know what catfishing is.
I've heard that from Chloe.
Oh,
daughter.
From my daughter?
Yeah, but I've never...
yeah, catfishing.
Exactly,
it's like you put up a hot, like a picture that's not really you, and then you meet them
I've
in person.
I've been the victim of that.
Didn't you have that on when you did like match.com shit before we ever met?
Oh, Anna, I feel a good story coming on.
Yeah, Match is a tragic place to look for a partner.
It used to be easier to catfish back in the day, but now there's multiple ways of...
double-checking your work and... doing your
double
research.
Checking your work.
Yeah,
going on a date,
I do my
not
own
even
research.
Seeing the same person.
Mm-hmm. I go on your LinkedIn. I'm going on your Insta. I'm going on your Facebook. And then if you don't have any of those, then I also think that that's a red flag.
Why are they hiding? Huge.
What's going on
here? They're a serial killer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frightening.
Anna knows a couple of those.
I did. He's dead now.
Oh,
if you want me to give you
true
the backstory.
Story.
This is a true story. It's my favorite party story to tell. It was a nightmare when it happened, but now that it's over, I mean, we have to laugh.
Very famous story.
Because if we're not laughing, we're crying. I say that all the time. So we have to make everything, you know, humorous.
Especially me.
Yeah, otherwise life is deeply tragic. So my roommate, I have a roommate, and she had a boyfriend, and they started dating, I want to say Christmas 2019. And, you know, he was a very attractive man with very nice arms. And I remember looking at those arms and going, God damn it. Why can't I find a man with those kind of arms? Those arms are going to come back into the picture in a few. We're going to circle back to the arms. But anyways, they dated for about 3 months. He ended up being a little on the psychotic side. Thankfully, she ended things with him. He did not respond well. We had to get the police involved because he was showing up at the house at odd hours. And then when he threatened physical violence, and it was a little bit of a problem. And I remember it was March 15th because I'm I'm crazy date savant. So I remember it was March 15th, 2020. It was basically the week that everything locked down because of COVID. And thank God it happened before then. Otherwise, he probably would have been like quarantining with us. But anyways, his name was Zach. And Zach threatened physical violence against my roommate. And I remember she came out in the living room and she said, quote, he texted me and he said, quote, I was thinking about coming over and murdering us both, but I'm over it now. And my response was, when he says us, does he mean you and him or does he mean me and you? Like, I'm a little confused. And she goes, I think he means me and him. I'm like, okay, better, but still not good.
Yeah,
so let's call
the cops.
Everything
better.
Well, I didn't want to get murdered. I wasn't fucking the guy. Like, I'm just the roommate. So, but I didn't know if he was mad at me. I gave him a few dirty looks one time. You know, maybe he didn't appreciate that very much. So the cops come over. They file an incident report. They talk to him, file an incident report. No problem. Okay. He tries to reach out to her a few times. She completely ignores him. It's all good. All right. Then fast forward to October of that same year of 2020. So almost a year ago. I'm just doing some research for work, you know, prep for the show. And I see an article in New York Post about a murder-suicide. It was fucking him. He killed the next girl he dated.
Stop.
And then he killed himself. And they didn't even know how she died because she was so badly butchered. Like, he didn't even just shoot her. He, like, cut her up. Like, it was fucked up. And I am losing my mind. And I'm looking at the mugshot. I'm like, I'll never forget a face. Like, who is... And then all of a sudden, I was like, and I started scrambling for a name. And I found it. And it was Zach. And I start fucking losing it. I tell my roommate, which maybe wasn't the move, but... That gave her nightmares for months. But yeah, that was.
Were you working here when that happened?
Yeah, I was working here. And I let it fly on the air a little too much, and she was tuned in. Because I was also pissed, because I felt like she really didn't vet people very well before she brought them over, and they know where we live. And he basically started living with us almost immediately. He was over 5-6 nights a week, and... I mean, I don't want to, he's not my boyfriend. I don't want to see him fucking every day. So I just felt like she wasn't vetting men properly. And, you know, this was kind of like a habit, you know, where it's like she meets a guy and then all of a sudden, you know, they're attached at the hip. So I was a little bit concerned, and I let those issues fly over the air, and she didn't appreciate it. But we worked through it. It's okay. You know, it's all good. She's with a guy who's great, and he's over a lot too. But you know what are you gonna do? He's a nice man.
That's more scary than COVID.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. Yes.
Yeah. So it was really freaky.
Story?
Yeah. I called him Marbles because he mumbled a lot, like he had marbles in his mouth. And I remember I played Monopoly with him for like 4 hours, the three of us. And I just, you know, I loathed both of them, maybe because I was a little bitter, maybe because I was a little jealous because of the arms. But little did I know that those arms were going to butcher the next girl that he dated.
Drew,
so
the mumbling thing, Drew's obsessed with Forensic Files. Like obsessed.
Okay.
Is that mumbling? Is that like a characteristic of a...
You mean like talking to yourself, mumbling?
No, like he doesn't enunciate well. So I'd be like, what? You sound like you have marbles in your mouth. So I called him Marbles, like not to his face, but, you know, affectionately behind his back.
Is that a characteristic of a serial killer?
Yeah.
My husband's a mumbler.
Uh-oh.
That's it. I'm dead.
Well, that's not good. a little bit of a tangent story,
yeah,
but
let's go on to the pimple popping story.
Yeah, I do want to circle back to like aesthetics and everything like that. You said that you've been doing this for about 20 years, right? So you've been doing this before Instagram, before Facebook,
yes,
before Snapchat. So what have you noticed are the differences? Like, was it a bit less crazy? And then as soon you know, Instagram filters come into play. Now everybody wants to look like a filter that's of a person that's not even real.
Well,
how's it changed?
The phone has changed everything.
The phone. Okay.
I mean,
how's that?
Between Instagram and social media, I feel like it's fucked up many things, including your self-image.
Like, how were things before the pocket phone, before the smartphone? How were people before they could have the access to the internet on their phone? How were things back then?
They definitely didn't know as much.
Okay.
And so, you know, back when I started, this whole aesthetic industry was not as popular. I definitely think, social media is a blessing and a curse. I mean, okay, it can definitely keep people knowledgeable. And of course, if they're, you know,
connected
and they're like, oh, that area, oh, I have that mole or I have that yeah, hair there or whatever, I
feel
can get
less
that
alone.
Fixed now. Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, I can, there's a way. So I definitely think it's there's a positive, you know, but people know more. And then also you've got providers who think, oh, this sounds amazing. I want to throw a needle around someone's veins and arteries and you know, that looks great. I can make people look better or I can do that. People can make a lot of money doing that or whatever. And then you get, you know, people who aren't qualified, who are, you know, fucking up faces and causing dysmorphia on faces because they're, you know, not doing a proper consult or they're unaware of how to inject. And they think it's this glamorous life, which it is, but you have to know what you're doing. It's a very, it's not as easy as it looks on Insta, which definitely makes it look easy. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see needles popping around and then you see like their results and it just seems like any bartender could do it. Definitely patients know more. So okay, they're coming in with even more questions.
Okay.
So I think that's probably the biggest thing is that growing in this industry, I was able to really understand because I loved having it done myself and I love doing it. So I, you know, the lasers, the skincare, all that. I really got to understand it and be able to dumb it down when you have all of this new information out and every laser company is putting out this, you know, the same thing, but calling it something different. Mm-hmm. So patients, they know what they are. They think they know what they're talking about. If they're talking about, you know, body work or body devices or, you know, skincare, I use this, I use that. And I want, you know, Dysport or this or Botox. There's just so many like Coke and Pepsis.
Yeah.
And so I think that my treatment plan and the knowledge I learned before it all got super popular helps me dumb it down for patients and get them like the right treatment for what they need mm-hmm. and help them to educate them of what laser does what so that it just kind of cuts all the noise out of all the things that they think they know. You know, because everyone knows because Google teaches everyone, you know, all the treatment. So I think in that question, mm-hmm. I was blessed to be in the industry before it got crazy when people knew too much or they, you know, were posting the before and afters and treatments on, you know, TikTok or Insta.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they're the experts now. So we're just having a conversation.
Right. And maybe I'm just ignorant to like fashion and aesthetic trends, but there's been things that have come into the picture in the last like 5 years where I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like eyebrows, like that is so important to people. And it can like shape the face, of course, but like I didn't know it was that big of a deal. Eyelashes, like everyone's getting those extensions and a little bit I feel like there's tasteful ones, but I mean some of them are like, how the hell is your eye like sore from just carrying that so fucking true. Lash
yeah.
in there?
Oh, it's very true.
Yeah.
What do you call them, Drew? Disney princess lashes.
Oh, Disney princess.
Yeah.
Look like tarantula legs.
Yeah, I don't really like that when it looks insane. It looks crazy. And then what's weird is when you take them off, like when those people take them off, they look like naked. I'm like, are you okay? You look sick. They're like, no,
sometimes
I just don't have
lashes. Sometimes they look younger.
Without
them? When I took my lashes off, I felt like I think it makes you look younger.
Yeah, that might be the case because I feel like a lot of young people get it, like 21, and they look like your stepmom. You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking, you're fucking your dad, and that's your new stepmom, and they just look like Kylie Jenner, for example. When she was like 19, she looked like she was 30.
Oh, I thought she was older.
Right. Yeah. She looked like she was, you know, banging your dad, and you're just like, whoa, you're a teenager. That's crazy. But those, and lips too, which, I mean, I know that lips have always been, you know, a very feminine feature, and people have always tried to like enhance their lips, but the size of the lips now just seems that people just keep pushing the envelope.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
But I also do love, because I get mesmerized by this, is like even just the makeup tutorials. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I only knew that back when I was younger, I probably wouldn't have even had the plastic surgery I've had. Because there's just so much like information.
Like contouring and stuff.
I am mesmerized just watching. I'm like, oh, how they like, it's artistic.
Yeah,
just
it
watching
is.
Them do that. But it does, when you have makeup on, you definitely feel better, look better. You know, when you look better, you feel better. When you feel better,
mm-hmm. right.
you know, do better. When you do better, you work. And so I live by that philosophy from just confidence. But it's the, I mean, you just, yeah, you definitely, you know, you want to put some makeup on and just enhance your features.
Right.
Your
you don't
eyes.
Have to look like a drag queen.
Yeah. But that's one thing on
like
social
me, but,
that is,
yeah.
Almost, you have, I had this moment, like, I want to be, you know.
Yeah. It's, that's the good side of social media.
Yeah.
You know, learning stuff and. I mean, I'm so old, I actually like cleaning hacks, you
I
know,
love
like
those.
Cleaning hacks and shortcuts. And that's when
like
you know
those.
You're getting old.
Well, I have like weird things up. I like to, I watch yeah. like donut eating and squishing and, you know,
yeah, she's
and,
a weirdo.
And pimple popping. So that's where Drew comes in. Dr. Drew comes in. I love pimple popping. And I know, Tara, you hate it. Carrie, how do you feel about it? Does that like tickle some weird part of your brain? Because it really does for me.
I do love cleaning dirty things. So like I, you know,
like
I
just
do
the
love
relief
popping.
Of yes. something yes. that's in there and now it's out of
yes.
there. And
yes.
It's weird. It's like those mirror neurons start firing and it's like you get relief from. And that's why I also like listening and watching the chiropractic videos. It's like it tickles the same part of my brain when you hear like those cracks.
Oh,
you're like,
yeah.
oh, yeah, I get it. So, like, Drew, how do you feel about that? Like, when you see someone come in with, like, a big, nasty blackhead, are you like, fuck you, yeah, let's get this sucker out of here?
I can't say that's what attracted oh, okay. me to dermatology. Sorry. In fact, I tell most people not to press and squeeze
oh,
those
Lord.
Things because they usually end up...
You're no fun.
No.
Scarring.
Going backwards and getting inflamed and even yeah. worse looking. Those are the ones we end up seeing. So, you know, I like to pop a little intralesional steroid nose or... The old-fashioned warm compresses.
Okay.
Some you just have to drain. I know it's not sex. This isn't like murderous psycho boyfriend.
I know.
Not as sexy, but
he did teach me how to take care of a cyst because we did have to pop a cyst on his back.
No, I've had enough big ones. I mean, these aren't going to be as sexy and fun as what you see on Dr. Pimple Popper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it squirts across the room.
Oh, hell yeah. Hard pop or soft pop? Hard pop?
Pop and the contents... squirt into my mask and I end up smelling it for 20 minutes.
What is it, like sebum or what causes that?
It's a combination. Yeah, it's the oil, the sebum, and you know, dead skin cells. Sometimes there's a you know, pus, which is basically inflammation that's built up in there. And
do you ever get grossed out?
Oh, it smells horrible. That's not my favorite thing to. That's not why I went into dermatology.
So why did you? What inspired you? If not that, Drew, what inspired you?
Well, I treat skin cancer, so that's
okay. So you're saving lives. I guess that's better than popping things.
Reconstruction.
Okay.
We do I think a lot of the, there's a lot of crossover with plastics with regard to.
I was going to say, like, because I know Carrie gets a lot of fulfillment out of making people feel better. And I'm sure you have a lot of patients with like acne and stuff. So when they see improvements.
He's really good at teaching, at acne.
At acne.
I
so,
learned
like,
a lot from him.
That must be really fulfilling for, like, especially, you know, young people, teenagers,
yeah.
and even older people, but especially them. They come back and it's like their skin's a lot clearer. They have a lot more confidence.
They're getting dates.
Yeah,
there's so
that's
many
awesome.
Good drugs now, and, you know, with regard to, like diseases like psoriasis and eczema.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you see all these obnoxious commercials on TV. But, yeah, you can do a lot of good now. The medications, and I'm not pro big pharma either, but certainly there's some people that need
sure, of course
medications.
Yeah,
it makes a big difference.
Is psoriasis hereditary?
It is,
yeah. My mom has
for most people there's usually a hereditary component to
great
it. But there's a lot of environmental triggers and things that kind of
like
kind of what
stress
kind of pulls it out. Stress.
Oh, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah. Do you have any, and I know this is kind of like a probably a question you get often, but do you have any like skin tricks and tips and stuff? I know it's like, yeah, don't stay in the sun, wear sunscreen, drink water. But like, what's like your top two or three tips that you tell people that maybe they haven't heard before?
What was I going to say, Carrie?
No, just say it.
Talking about sunscreen.
I'll
tell you, you don't have to spend a ton of money. And this is going to probably go totally against some of the stuff that y'all been talking about. But mm-hmm. you don't have to spend a ton of money to look good. I mean, prevention is really the key. And so, a general skincare regimen, sun protection, and then see a very conservative, well-versed, experienced cosmetic nurse. Like my wife.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Nice plug. Nice plug.
You're going to do very well.
Good twist. So if you, I like the sun, right? I really do. But I have been staying out of it. I mean, when I was a kid, used to use baby oil. And, sunscreen
There's no sun in here. It's dark.
Right. That's true. Is it bad, though,
sunburn.
If you use sunscreen, I grew up in northern Indiana, just south of Michigan. Really close to the Michigan border. So, we had 3-month summers, you're using baby oil, the tanner, the better. I used to go to tanning beds like crazy. And now, of course, the last 10 years, I'm like, what in the hell was I doing? So, I'm really trying to stay out of the sun, but I hate that white pasty look. I love the sun. Is there a happy medium that if you really use a good sunscreen, that you can go out and, I have a pool. I love to swim. I love to go to the beach. Is it still okay to have sun exposure if you're smart?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the people that are the most pale are the ones that are not going to tan well. And so people end up overdoing it. And there's really no safe tan, unfortunately. But it's all about moderation. I mean, I like to go outside. I hate to say it, as I've gotten older, I probably have gotten more. Maybe because I'm getting older and uglier anyway, I tend to
get
more
Marky
sun.
Mark.
I tend to get more sun now than I did before, probably my early years. And
what number of sunscreen? Really like what SPF would you recommend? Like if Anna and I are going to the beach, we're going to be there for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, I pretty much recommend SPF 30 for most people. You're fair skin, I mean, it's obviously more important to be consistent.
I always do 100.
Consistent.
Some tell them the difference between 30 and 100.
I feel like it's not that big of a difference, right?
Well, the SPF number is tested in a factory, so it's not really proportional to how much ultraviolet that's blocked. Mm-hmm. So let's say like an SPF of 15 blocks 93% of the rays.
Mm-hmm.
The number, it's kind of an exponential. I guess it's more of an exponential analogy.
Increase,
But like a SPF of 50 may block out 98%. So the problem is most people don't put on the recommended amount that's tested in the lab. So if somebody puts on a fourth of the recommended amount, then the SPF of 30 is 7. Whereas a higher SPF will give you a little bit more of a buffer because at least they're getting maybe a 12 or a 15, the way the average person puts the
puts
it on. But
yeah, I don't mess around with that.
If you have a history, a family history of, let's say, melanoma, or you're already developing basal and squamous cells at a young age, then it becomes more important for those to wear sunscreen. Some people just have natural protection and
darker skin and
darker skin types. And some people just have maybe their immune system fights these things off better. But
so just be smart. Yeah. Moderation and use
burning,
a good sunscreen.
Problem, if you're getting a little
red
color, so to speak, you're probably doing a little better. Although theoretically, we have to say if you're getting color, I mean, you're doing some damage. It's a protective, it's a protective reaction your skin's putting out. You can tan, but
brown fat looks so much better than white fat.
I've always said that too.
Well, I tell you, these spray tans don't look good though. I think
yes, they do.
Some of them
look
do
better than others, but in
house
general,
divided. I've never done one. I don't think I ever. I need one of those. When I lived in Michigan, my skin got to a color I was uncomfortable with. Like, what is that? Because I've lived in California and here, my whole life. So I have like nice olive skin. But when I was in Michigan, it was absolutely disgusting. But you're saying that spray tans are no good.
Oh, I mean, they're safe, so
but they just look
color,
gross.
He remembers the one time I had a streak.
I think they're streaky. They got an orange color.
Mm-hmm. They look weird on your hands.
Yeah.
So you're not a fan?
You have to, you know, exfoliate, make sure it's evenly applied. But even still, you know, but they look good for a few days and they start to peel off.
So you're essentially just like staining the skin. Is that what it is? Like,
exactly.
Okay.
I tell Carrie that I said sometimes they look like shit stains on the back of your leg.
He likes all natural, though he doesn't know that everything's
like
not natural.
I like pale skin. I think you have to have color to look good. I think pale skin is coming back in. And that back in the day, that was a sign of aristocrats.
Oh, I know.
Well, to do a tan person meant somebody that was
in the migrant work.
They worked, yep. Yeah, they worked outdoors.
Yeah, a day labor.
Somewhere along the line, that got sexy. But you see these people coming in, and you can tell the women are beautiful, even though they're aging. But they're the sun has damaged their skin. They look, you know, 10 times
a little bit leathery.
But
yeah.
That was the right answer. They're still beautiful, boy.
He knows
can tell
what to say.
Yeah, boy.
He's a Scorpio. He knows how to charm
Carrie.
It.
A Scorpio. I love how you read into that. I don't know anything about horoscopes, but
we'll have a whole podcast on that.
All right, next week we'll do it. But I do want to thank everybody for coming in. Drew, Tara, Carrie, thank you guys so much for making time.
So fun.
And we will be doing this soon, so stay tuned for another episode. Thanks, guys. Bye.